Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Before we begin today in our study and continuation of John's Gospel, if you have been enjoying these Abounding Grace Radio series through the Gospel of John, I am teaching a winter course on Through the Gospel of John, 12 weeks in Canada at the Reformed Bible College. You can sign up for that at rbcollege.com. Again, that's rbcollege.com. Begins January 13, 2011 at 7:30 p.m. at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church, and we will go for 12 weeks. Subject is the Gospel of John. So again, you must register for that course. That is rbcollege.com. Love to meet you. Love to study the Gospel together with you. Well, that turns us now to, again, continuing and actually finally completing this week our study of John chapter 6. And there's a reason. There's a reason this is 71 verses. There's a lot here for us, radio listener. There's a lot to understand. And as we unpack this week, I want to again set the scene and have us think about how complex and how difficult a reality that is before us. It's been really difficult to see this in John 6. I have tried to wrap my mind around the fact that thousands of people could gaze their eyes on the Messiah, could physically see Jesus, touch him, watch him, place his hands on people, see him take away their sickness. Even in this very book, he's going to raise a man from the dead. They're going to listen to his teachings. They hear him say, "Whatever I see the Father do, I do. God bears witness of me. The Father bears witness of me. As he gives life, so I give life. Judgment is mine. Whosoever believes in me, they're going to pass from death to life, and they're going to live." They watch him, in this chapter, take just a couple of loaves and miraculously feed 5,000 people. They gaze, they hear, they see all of this. And I have to teach you today on Abounding Grace Radio that thousands who had seen all these things with their eyes, who were able to touch and taste the realities of him giving them bread to eat, who heard his teachings with their physical ears, who witnessed and handled the Son of God, couldn't stand his teachings. But that just requires a long pause, doesn't it? Thousands couldn't stand Jesus Christ's teachings, and they turned away, and they ended up walking right away from the Savior of the world. And then I have to really set in your hearts who this was. It was religious people. It was people stuck in their Jewish traditions that couldn't accept this kind of Christ. He will say to these people in the next chapter, chapter 8, "I'm going to go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. You're going to go on and continue to look for your Messiah, and you're going to perish in your sins." I'm heartbroken, dear radio listener, to see what is before us in John 6. I believe John wants us to enter the scene. He's painted it so powerfully. Think for a minute. You're not listening to the radio right now. You're in the first century. Would you want this Jesus? There are three questions this morning presented to us, and I'm going to unpack this week on Abounding Grace that explain everything this chapter has driven us to see and has now culminated with. In verse 60, we read, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Jesus' teachings. Who can understand what he's saying? This is not what we expect from the teachings of the Messiah. The second question comes in verse 61 from Jesus himself. "Does this offend you?" In other words, are you bothered with my teachings? Do they cause you to stumble? Are they hard for you? And then the third question comes in verse 67. After thousands got up and said, "That's it," I can just picture Jesus turning, looking at his own disciples, and then he asks, "Do you also want to go away?" I'm framing Abounding Grace this week around these three questions because everything that we've learned in John 6 drives us to that very last question. Do you want to go away? Why did it all come to that? Why would Jesus have to address his own that way? I believe this is greatly important this morning because, as I have said, this chapter challenges at the heart the motivations for why you, listener, follow Jesus Christ, what you have to do with Jesus Christ. Feel stagnant? Feel empty? Are you sick? How lifeless you feel? Well, it's sort of as if Moses, remember when Moses drew a line in the sand and Joshua did the same and Elijah did the same. Choose you this day whom you will serve, you know, whom you will worship. If Baal is God, follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. Christ is saying, come to me. That's what all of this drives us to this morning. That's what it all culminates with in these past weeks as we have studied John 6. He turns to you. He stands over you, over your life, dear radio listener, and he says your name. Do you also want to go away? Thousands just did. So look at what just happened. You're in the first century. You just witnessed thousands walk away from Christ. What about you? By the time Abounding Grace is done this week, I pray you have that answer. I pray you have it now. Let's bring to a close our study of this powerful John 6. Well, it's all come full circle. Jesus has concluded explaining what the feeding of the 5,000 was all about. Remember, they had been filled to the full. He had just stuffed them by taking a few loaves and a few fish and stuffing 5,000 people so that they had so much to eat. There were 12 baskets, the very number of the disciples left over to demonstrate Christ's power to feed souls. And they came back the next day wanting more. And we're thinking, why should we follow you? Moses did this every day. You know, he gave manna in the wilderness. Remember that? You feed us like that, Jesus, we'll believe in you. Jesus had turned the whole thing after that spiritually. This feeding has nothing to do with making your bellies full. I did this to teach you what I am like for the wandering, thirsty soul. Because all of you are wandering through life with no purpose. And you think it's just about being satisfied for the present. You think it's just having your best life now. You think it's just a Joel Osteen book. It's not. It's not it. That is not what this is about. And you know, I hear all the time on the radio, just name it and claim it. Speak it. You'll get it all now. The Lord wants to overcome all the sickness and all of that for you right now. Listen, that is the very thing Jesus is confronting in this chapter, the temporary. Jesus is speaking from heaven. The resurrection will come in the new heavens and the new earth when you get a new body. At the end of the world, you'll be raised, and that'll be it if you're a believer. You'll get a new body then, but we are entrenched in the sufferings of this present evil age. And Jesus is calling people to look to him to have their souls raised, to be spiritually raised from the dead. That's our great problem. It's not financial. It's not physical. Our great problem is spiritual. And the physical will happen in the resurrection. That will be remedied too. So remember, Christ is speaking spiritual words here. He's been proclaiming to them spiritual language. These words are spiritual words. He says that in verse 63. It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So he says here, I am, moves away from the physical bread. Just stuff them with physical bread. He says, no, I am the bread of life. That's what this means. I've come down from heaven to be bread for your souls. I can fill you. It's me. I want you to be satisfied in me, immensely filled. I want you to have peace and joy. I've come that you might really live and live abundantly. And remember, this just moved the Apostle John. You know, when I think this teaching so grasped and so overwhelmed him, it's the very thing he started with in his little epistle under the inspiration of the Spirit. In 1 John, remember what he said? That which we have seen with our eyes, this is right at the beginning, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You know, that is what Christ is after for sinners. Peace. Joy. Inward peace because you know you're reconciled. The enmity, the warfare between you and God is over. Christ has brought peace between God and man. So last week we studied this. You know, he quoted Isaiah 54. It's written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. That was a quote out of Isaiah 54, 13. All of your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Christ was saying, that's what I'm like for your souls. I'm bread and I'm life. But then was the tragedy. That's what we've been studying here. That they had seen him and did not believe. And what really began to set in was something that he said in this section that set it all off. Jesus said a lot of things, but in verse 41, they complained against his teachings. You know why, dear radio listener? Because he said this, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. At that point, everything began to escalate and unravel. Remember, they start off complaining, and each response by them, Jesus steps it up, steps up his teaching so purposely to offend that after they murmur, he steps it up further. The bread is my flesh, and I give for the life of the world. And then you read in verse 52, they break out in a fight. They're quarreling. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then he takes it up further. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life. You won't live. Now they're ready to depart. So you've seen the progression here from complaining to fighting to departure. And many of us have witnessed this. Why does it have to be this way? Why are these things exposed? The sad reality is that from this perspective, you have a bunch of unregenerate followers of Jesus Christ, unchanged. The text is showing us our total inability to come to Christ and to truly be filled. And that his power, his sovereignty, his salvation is something entirely in his hand. He has sheep, dear radio listener, and nothing will frustrate them from coming. Why does he want this proclaimed to you? Because I believe right now there are a lot of listeners who are really thirsty, who are hungry, who need Jesus Christ, and who have not yet come. Jesus is saying, come. And all those who come are those who the Father powerfully drew to the Son. So I pray today that you have been satisfied in Christ, that you delight in his teachings, and that whatever he says, you recognize he has the words of eternal life. You could go nowhere else. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We would love to get to know you. We give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.